From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, what's that strange hum people are hearing all around the planet? I turned investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe loose, and she's back with a report. That'll be next hour. Here's what's happening. You know, a decade ago in the DreamWorks movie Minority Report, billboards spoke directly to the characters in the movie. They even knew their names. In just a few weeks, though, that science fiction plot will become reality as some businesses in Central Florida will know who you are when you walk through the door. It's all because of enhanced facial recognition technology. Get ready. Well, the Postal Service has announced new plans to consolidate or close 223 mail processing plants all around the country, putting 35,000 jobs at stake. This will start in May or June. It's all part of a way to save billions of dollars. The Postal Service is in debt due to declining first-class mail. Everybody's doing most of their work on the Internet. The wife of an Iranian nuclear scientist who was assassinated in Tehran in January said that her husband sought the annihilation of Israel. So a lot of people who've been on the fence thinking, just what are their plans? This is from the wife of one of the scientists who was killed. But you know what? This Iranian situation is affecting us in all different ways. The price of gasoline is going up. The price of food is going up. Our food expert, Steve Schenck, on with me now. Steve, how does the price of gasoline and the fact that it is going up and it's going up high, how does that affect food costs?
Well, for the last 10 years, George, you've had an almost perfect match between the graph of food prices and the graph of gasoline prices. And now we've got this situation in Iran. You talk about the assassinations. One of the alternatives that many believe are being used to the preemptive strike by Israel is to deal with some of the assets on the ground in Iran. But what's happening, we've got three battle groups over there, and Iran is responsible for a lot of oil, and all the Arab nations that are lining up behind her are right there, and they're threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. And that will affect gas prices, as everyone knows. But the interesting thing, George, one of the reasons that we have that match between gas prices and food prices is we also have a worldwide famine.
That's right.
As you and your listeners know, we've got 7 years into that famine, and all the major countries are buying up food. And the third thing is the ethanol situation, where they're using our food to make ethanol, which runs the cost of food up. And as the food goes up and the corn is required to feed the cattle, the ethanol prices go up. And ethanol, which was intended originally to lower the cost of gas, is now one of the main reasons that the gasoline is going up higher. And then the final thing is the contamination of food, which causes the food prices to go up. And transportation costs and everything are just going around in a great big circle. And gasoline and food are inextricably attached to each other. And that's what's happening right now.
It's frightening, Steve. And I know we get a lot of phone calls from truck drivers who are seeing the price of diesel fuel going up, 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 too. That's going to affect us.
Well, you take that diesel fuel that the farmers have to use to plant and harvest the food. And that a lot of that is being shunted over where the government is actually subsidizing the raising of our food instead of for people to put into the gas tanks, and then you go back around that circle again. But basically, fuel costs are the one major factor in increasing the cost of food. So as you look at the gas station, when the fuel costs go up to $4, then $5, you will find that in the grocery store now, the way things are set up, particularly with the war threats from Iran, you've got a situation where as the gasoline prices increase by 20%, your food prices will actually increase by 30 to 40%.
God, that's frightening.
It is just a frightening, terrible scenario.
Thank you, Steve. The sky is falling, sort of. Over the last 10 years, the height of clouds has been shrinking, according to new research. The time frame is short, but if future observations show that clouds are truly getting lower, it could have an important effect on global climate change. Clouds are lower in the atmosphere. That'll allow the Earth to cool more efficiently, offsetting some of the warming caused by greenhouse gases. Birds in eastern North America are picking up the pace along their yearly migratory paths. That's right. They say climate change increases the temperatures, altering bird migration patterns. It's a study by North Carolina. Isn't that incredible? How the time of day can increase the risk of dying from an irregular heartbeat has now been identified by researchers. It's a story we had last night on Coast to Coast AM. The risk of sudden cardiac death peaks in the morning, rises again in the evening. We turn to Christian Wild on this one. Why is that the case, Christian? Why the morning? Why the evening? About a protein or something?
Well, there's certain biochemical things that happen in our bodies, particularly while we're sleeping. Now, circadian is a, not that we need to know it, but it's a Latin word. It describes a 24-hour cycle. And it not only regulates human beings, but also plants and animals. We've all seen how a tree or a plant looks like it's going to sleep at night. The leaves droop, and in the morning they rise again. Now, George, the study that we're referencing here tonight will no doubt have some answers over time, but unfortunately, it offers nothing in the short term that would help you and I and coast-to-coast listeners avoid an early morning heart attack or sudden death. So if I may, let me just share briefly three tangible ways that could help us prevent heart attacks and even stroke. There is a 35 to 40% blood pressure and cortisol level increase in the early hours of sleep, increasing one's risk of a heart attack and, as you said, sudden death. Monday morning heart attacks increase in number as one prepares, according to the studies, to negotiate getting to work in the traffic and certainly as they anticipate all the stress that lies ahead during the week. Now, maintain your inflammatory factors, exercise, even if you do some walking, which is wonderful. And look at this one, George. There is a study, and they looked at men who were completely free of heart disease. They had no indication.
Nothing
of heart disease
at all. They felt fine, right?
Felt perfectly fine. Yeah, like a lot of people we've known.
Ugh.
And they were 81% less likely to experience sudden death when their blood levels of omega-3 fatty acids were high. The answer, eat more fish or take fish oil supplements. And here's another one.
And take them in the morning.
Take them in the morning. It's a good piece of advice. That annoying sleep apnea can be lethal.
Yes.
Much more than just an annoyance. So if you think you or your spouse might have sleep apnea, please consider a sleep study, and the insurance will pay for it.
How do you find a sleep study place?
They're everywhere, and your doctor will send you to it. They're paid for by the insurance companies, and only then will you know how badly you are suffering from it. You might very possibly gasp for air 200 to 300 times a night.
I've got to ask you that. Do people actually, with sleep apnea, stop breathing for a moment?
Stop breathing. And the cortisol levels and the blood pressure goes up. And if you already have some compensation or you have certain arteries that are already compromised, that can throw you into a heart attack and sudden death. Now, there's another reason for a heart attack at those early hours of the morning. That's when you enter REM, the deep sleep. Okay? And that's where you get into nightmares and traumatic dreams. A lot of people do. It's the fight or flight factor that becomes involved. Hey, maybe your ex was chasing you with a meat cleaver in your dream, or your mother-in-law had you pinned up against the wall. Finally, here's another one. I know we don't have too much time. Take your blood pressure meds at night so that you have a stronger protection in the morning hours. If you take them in the morning each day, they will have dissipated when you need them the most.
Okay, one more time on that.
Take your blood pressure at night
before you go to bed.
Right.
Why not in the morning when you wake up? You need it the most.
The 24-hour cycle, when you're at risk the next day, you will have spent the protection of that blood pressure medicine as it's wearing off when you need it the most.
Interesting. Did not know that. Okay, Christian, thanks, my friend. MyHeartBook.com. That's Christian Wild's website. Great information. Gosh, he's been giving us information for years. And by the way, I've got to tell you something about Christian Wild. We have gotten so many emails from people who have problems. And they hear Christian on the show and they write into me. I forward them on to him, and he follows up with everyone. Everyone. Might take him a little bit of time, but he does follow up. The Obama administration has formally stated that the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet, or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. According to Steve Bassett, if that's true, what was the Clinton's Office of Science and Technology Policy investigating back in 1993? In concert with billionaire Clinton friend Lawrence Rockefeller. Up next, Stephen Bassett joins us. He's trying to get a petition signed. He needs some signatures. Stephen's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Stephen Bassett with us this hour, Executive Director of the Paradigm Research Group, a leading advocate for ending the government-imposed truth embargo regarding extraterrestrial presence. Stephen, of course, had a very successful petition several months ago that got to the White House, where they then denied any existence of life outside our planet, knowledge of, or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. Stephen, of course, being the bulldog that he is, has decided he wants another disclosure petition, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Stephen, how many do you need this time? Signatures.
They have raised the bar to 25,000 signatures, George, in 30 days.
It was 5,000 for the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I know why they raised it, though. They got inundated with petitions. Oh, somewhere between 10 and 20,000.
All kinds of things, right?
Yeah, and that's fine. That's great. I mean, in other words, people really wanted to engage them. And then they realized, oh, my God, it looks like we may have to respond to 5,000 petitions. And they said, okay, wait a minute. We need to increase the threshold. So they increased it to 25,000. We got in under the wire the first time. We got the amount needed. I think we ended up with 12,000. And the petition to the administration to formally acknowledge extraterrestrial presence engaged in the human race got the response that we were seeking.
Why do you think they even responded to the petition, Stephen, the first one?
Well, because first they set it up. This is their the We the People project at whitehouse.gov. It was set up by them to engage the public, get petitions put in. They set up the guidelines, and they made it quite clear that if you got the threshold number of signatures in 30 days, you would get a response from the White House. There were some instances where they couldn't respond, and they noted that. For instance, they won't intervene or talk about an ongoing court case, things like that. Mm-hmm. But if the petition was within the guidelines, you were going to get a response. And so we certainly fit that those guidelines. And so on November the 4th, that response came back. Now, George, let me tell you something. This is I am so happy to be on the show tonight, and I hope your listeners are paying close attention.
They always do to you, Stephen.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Something very important is going on here, and most people in the U.S., the vast majority, do not know that this is what's going on. And the people that do know don't quite realize how important it is. The purpose of that petition was to get the White House response. That was the whole reason.
Some kind of reaction.
Exactly. Why? Because, George, when they gave that response on November the 4th, which you can still see, it's up on their website, whitehouse.gov, We the People, it was the first time in the history of the phenomenon, George, that the White House has ever put a position on paper.
That's right. Now they're on record.
Yes. So we had this is a major breakthrough. They were on record. And the position they took, as you've stated, was in extremis. They made it quite clear in a few paragraphs. There is no and never has been any evidence for life outside the planet or that any non-human intelligence is contacting human beings. And then the killer, the last one, no evidence that the United States government has ever hidden anything on this issue from the public. So they took the extreme position. That's their choice. No problem. All right. What that meant was we now had a stationary target, a formal statement by the White House itself, which makes it a very mainstream matter now. So if we go after that statement and we can show that it's false, which it certainly is, and we do it on the White House website, we very well may bring the press into this full bore, which is what has not
happened. That's what you need. That's
exactly. And when the press finally bite down on a story, I know you've seen it over the years, and go into overdrive, no force on earth can stop them.
It's like you don't give up.
Well, you know, I mean, but the thing is, the people aren't giving up. Look, you've got an audience there. Your audience probably knows more about this issue than any other defined group of people.
No question about it.
And they know about it. They know it's true. And they have been following this and staying with it for almost 20-some years now. And so they are in a position to make some history tonight. And that's why I'm on. And I'll now explain to you the second half of the story. Because, all right. It's been 4 months since the thing was launched. Millions of people have signed up and created an account at We the People. Millions of signatures have been gathered, all well and good. Now we go back in with the second petition, disclosure petition to the Rockefeller Initiative. And what this does is directly confront the position by the White House in a very interesting way. Why?
How so?
The Obama administration's Office of Technology Policy, which is run by Dr. John Holdren, was the source of the response to the petition. Fine, that you expected that. 18 years ago, another Office of Science and Technology Policy, this one during the Clinton administration under the aegis of Dr. John Gibbons, was approached by Lawrence Rockefeller on March the 29th, 1993, not that long after he was inaugurated, with a desire to meet with him, to get a report to him, to discuss very clearly President Clinton, releasing all UFO files in the government hands and reinstituting investigations on this issue, bringing it all back up again, and essentially ending the truth embargo. He wanted Clinton, now that the Cold War was over, to be the disclosure president. This was a big deal. This was Lawrence Rockefeller, a billionaire, very much avant-garde, very much an environmentalist. He had funded many groups and paranormal researchers, including John Mack, Colin Andrews, and others. And he's a good guy. And so he walks in the door, and most probably he should have been rejected out of hand, but he wasn't, because he played a very cool card. Shortly after he had approached John Gibbons, and of course, you know, John Gibbons is there going, oh, my God, I needed this like I needed a hole in the head. I don't want to deal with this. Lawrence happened to let it drop. He was seriously considering putting a full-page ad in every newspaper in the country calling for the release of all the files and reinvestigating the UFO issue.
That would have got some attention.
I estimated how many papers it would be and how much it would cost, and I put the price at around $30 million, which would have been for Lawrence's return on his investments maybe 3 months. And so remarkably, as soon as he kind of let that be known, I think the response was, no hurry on this, Lawrence. Let's don't get carried away here. Let's get in and talk, right? And so off the initiative goes. Now, over the next 3 years, many researchers were involved. There were meetings at the JY Ranch, his ranch in Wyoming, planning strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There were reports, there was investigations, material was brought in, a book emerged from it, and then in 1995, President Clinton and his wife Hillary Clinton actually met with him at his JY Ranch to discuss this. Okay, fine. Pretty cool stuff, right? Huge story.
Great stuff.
Press cover? No. Didn't cover it. There was one article in the New York Daily News, and that's it. They just pretended like it didn't exist. Okay, well and good. After it was finally ended in late 96, Lawrence was getting quite old. Clinton was under huge attack about everything you can imagine, you may recall.
Right, right.
From that point forward, none of the people that were involved directly with it or knew about it have ever spoken publicly since at all. And not one of them has been asked a single question by the press. How it works. It's like, okay, look, you know, we can't really talk about this because that could get things cooking here, so let's just pretend it never happened. Let's move on.
Nobody's going to ask us, so we're okay.
Yeah, we got it made. The press won't ask. It's don't ask, don't tell. All right, it's all good. Except for one small problem. Canadian researcher Grant Cameron, in the year 2000, he knew about the Rockefeller Initiative. He filed an FOIA to the Office of Science and Technology Policy asking for everything from that period regarding Rockefeller, UFOs, ETs, you name it. And for whatever reason, providence shone on him, and he got back 1,000 pages of documents.
Wow.
Confirming it all.
Nothing blocked out?
Nope, nothing. No, well, a couple of signatures, not much. So That was part of the creation of Grant's website, presidentialufo.com, which is one of the most important sites on this issue in the world.
Stephen, hold on for a second. We're going to hit this break and come back. I want to talk more about this, your disclosure project. I want you to give everybody the way and the means to sign this petition. You need 25,000. We can do that in a night, probably. I'll be back in a moment with Stephen Bassett on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, investigator reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with stories of high strangeness, including, of course, this weird sound that people are hearing all around the planet. We'll do that next hour. When we come back in a moment, we'll chat more with Stephen Bassett about his disclosure petition, and we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. We're with Stephen Bassett, and we're going to talk about the petition. Stephen, if people want to sign this petition, which is easy, it's online, isn't it?
That's right. Here's the thing. The disclosure petition to the Rockefeller Initiative is up on the White House website right now. And has, I think, gotten 486 signatures since it was put up approximately 6 hours ago. The direct link to that petition is on the top of coasttocoastam.com right now in the speaker section. Or you can go to the home base for this petition, disclosurepetition.info. And you take a link directly over, and the petition you're going to read is such. And when I read this, George, I think people are going to understand what I'm talking about, given the background we talked about before the commercial.
Okay.
Here is what could very well make some history here if we can get 25,000 signatures from the audience of this important show. We petition the Obama administration to immediately investigate UFOET disclosure efforts during the Clinton administration, the Rockefeller Initiative. You're allowed 800 characters. The Obama administration has formally stated the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. If true, what was Clinton's Office of Science and Technology Policy investigating from March 1993 to October 1996 in concert with billionaire Clinton friend Lawrence Rockefeller? And now the key paragraph. Those who knew and have not spoken publicly of this initiative include President Bill Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Obama Transition Chairman John Podesta, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, Vice President Al Gore, and Governor Bill Richardson. And then underneath that are two links to two websites. One is Grant Cameron's, and one is in my website. Right to the documents and the narratives that completely confirm all that took place from 93 to 96. In other words, we're not making this up. The proof from the government's own documents is right there. This is sitting on the website for anyone in the world to read, including any member of the press. Now, I specifically waited until there was a slot available on Coast to Coast to launch this petition. It was launched 6 hours ago. To maximize the potential to get those signatures within 30 days. At the same time, today, PRG put out a worldwide press release through officialwire.com, a very, very good organization, I recommend it, that submits press releases to over 200,000 global media points of contact.
Huge.
And several more will go out in the next couple of weeks. Meanwhile, I have about 25 interviews already scheduled for March, probably going to add 20 more.
Good for you.
And so essentially, what has to happen here? We need 25,000 of your audience to go to We the People at whitehouse.gov or hit the direct link. And when they go there, if they don't already have an account there, and many do, and they select the petition.
But this is free, right?
Oh, it's all free.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
All free.
Okay.
They select the petition, and then if they don't have an account, they have to create an account. So they click on that, and then they have to give an email address and their first and last name.
Some people might be a little hesitant about that stuff.
Some are, and I appreciate that. And okay. If they don't want to do it for that reason, no problem. Again, we've got millions of people out there. We just need 25,000.
Right.
Now, they only publish your first name and last initial, which is kind of nice. You can also provide a city and state, if you want, or city and country. Anybody in the world can sign. You get back an email with a verification link in it. You have to click. This is standard. We've all done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And a password you use to log back in, and you can sign all the petitions you want at We the People for now and into the future. And it takes, for instance, at that point to sign the petition about 5 seconds.
Now, the 5,000 people who signed the first one, are they already registered?
12,000 people signed the first one, and yes, they are already registered.
Okay.
So they can just go over there, use their password, log in, and sign. It takes about 5 seconds. So that's the situation. Now, here is what can happen. This is where it really gets interesting. The moment the press, and I assure you they're following this. How do I know that? Because, you know, George, the first petition.
Oh, that made a lot of the news after.
It got more coverage, George, than all of the other posted petitions, about 300 combined. Hundreds of articles around the world in multiple languages. And if you go to disclosurepetition.info, you can find that media. So we know they're following it. So when the when the press realizes that this petition is going to get those 25,000 signatures, they're going to say, ooh, well, that means the White House is going to have to respond sometime in April. Then they're going to read the links. They're going to say, well, what's going on here? They're going to go to those links. They're going to read those documents, and they're going to say, hello. And I think you could very well see some very difficult questions asked of some very powerful people who, for whatever reason, feel that they want to lead, they want to run for president, they want to even be president, but they don't want to talk about things which they feel are just too tough for us to handle, or they're just uncomfortable for them to deal with. And if they are denied the answers, or if they're directly lied to, well, we've seen what happens when that goes down. You remember when Bill Clinton stood in front of the press and said, I have absolutely never had relations? Well, guess what? They said, that's too much. And then it launched the media frenzy. And, well, you know what happened after that. And so this petition, the Rockefeller Initiative, I've said for years, it may be the Achilles heel of the truth embargo, a gift from Lawrence Rockefeller, now dead, number of years, to us in the future. Why the Obama administration gave such a hardline response?
And who gave that response from the administration?
By the Office of Science and Technology Policy, a staffer put it out. He simply wrote what they wanted in Variety. He didn't research this issue, but it was clearly signed off on by the head of the OSTP, Holdren. There's no way that they're just going to put something out there. So this is the formal position. Now, I've had people pose to me the possibility that this is a brilliant maneuver on the White House's part, putting out such a hard line to galvanize us to really get going and put the pressure on, so maybe they could do what they can't do without that pressure.
Well, what we're going to do for you, Stephen, we're going to have Webmaster Lex, over the course of the 30 days, keep the link up with a running total of how you're doing with the petition signatures.
Fantastic.
And we'll put it up on the front page of the coasttocoastam.com website. It won't be difficult for people to find. And it'll be there once a week or so. We'll give people updates. We'll do it for the 30 days.
George, I'll tell you, this audience has the power to make history.
We could do
now,
it.
25,000 signatures guarantees a response, a lot of media coverage, a worldwide story. But if your audience wants to really make a statement and say 1 million of them took the couple of minutes it takes.
Yeah, we don't have to stop at 25,000.
Hell no. If we were to put 1 million figures up there, George, I'm telling you, it would be one of the biggest news stories of the last 20 years, and I can't even imagine what will happen. Recently there was a big controversy in the Congress about some bills that were going to restrict internet access. People were really not happy about them. Two sides to every story, but nevertheless, it was great concern, and some sites went black, like Wikipedia. Protest for
that's
24
right.
Hours.
Sure. Google,
you know,
put
Google
up their
did?
Thing.
Yeah. You remember Google? They put a big banner over their logo.
Yep.
And underneath, that's all the rest they had on the page, was a little thing that said, well, if you support the opposition to these bills here, and what here was a link to a petition. George, 7 million people signed that petition in 24 hours. And within another 24 hours, whatever one thinks of the issue, which is complex, the sponsors of the SOPA and PIPA bills basically said, "No, we're not gonna deal with that right now." And those bills were tabled. That's power, and it's out there. And when we start using that kind of power on all issues, things are going to change.
How did they backtrack, though, Stephen? Let's assume we get this done,
all right,
and we get the petition. They've got to respond to it.
Right.
Do they say the same thing that they said for the first one?
Oh no! That would be a disaster. Here's the dilemma. The first one was the setup. It got them to put a position out. I didn't quite expect that severe a petition, but some claim it's a strategy on their part. They actually want to create a controversy, but whatever. They put that out. Well, look, there's three things about that we know. One, it's false, right? It's completely indefensible.
Yes.
And so it's a setup. Now, the next petition goes directly at that. And what's more important, thanks to the work of Grant Cameron and Presidential UFO, we have the documents to confirm it. Back in 2001, Grant and I submitted a couple of copies of the whole set of documents to major papers, including the Washington Post, you know? They wouldn't touch it. I put the documents up on my website, which you can find. The link is in the petition. And then, of course, he has a narrative of all of the Clinton activities on his site and recently put up a section where you can download, I think, all 1,000 pages. The proof is right there. So if they don't stick with the truth of the matter, the press is going to see an outright lie, and then things get tough. So we have posed the White House an extremely difficult problem, but it's bigger than that, because we have also put into play, for all the world to see, major people in the Democratic Party and the administration, and I've mentioned them, the Clintons, John Podesta, Leon Panetta, Al Gore, Bill Richardson. These people knew about it and in some cases were involved in the process. These people have gone on to become major factors in the leadership of America and yet still will not deal with this.
They've conveniently forgotten about it, haven't they?
And so I say to your audience, if you believe you can handle this truth, if you believe you have a right to know something as fundamental as are you alone in the universe? Remember, disclosure is not about them dumping everything out on the White House lawn. Disclosure is the acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence, wherever they're from, to the people, and then we will engage the public, the government after that to try to find out how much we can learn and so forth, but at least we will know and be past that. That's what it is. And so if enough of your audience believes it's time to end this merry-go-round, it's been going on for 65 years, get this out so that we can decide what we're going to do with this planet and our species and how maybe we might engage these other civilizations in an open way. And good, God knows a thousand other things. It's very possible that if they then take the few minutes it takes to go to the White House website, We the People, or take the direct link, which is up on the front of Coast to Coast. It's up disclosurepetition.info, and it's going to be up on your site, as you said, for the next 30 days, and sign that petition, create an account, sign the petition, and more importantly, spread the word to their friends and colleagues. Pass that link on through Facebook, through Twitter, through MySpace, through their email list, through bulletin boards and their websites. Get it out there and get 10, 20 other people to sign. Then they may very well bring an end to this embargo.
That would be good. Let's take some calls here, Stephen, for you.
Absolutely.
Jim in Santa Monica, California. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I witnessed something incredible last week when President Obama was down. I seen a UFO 7 o'clock in the morning coming out of the coffee shop, and I got my binoculars and I have a compass, and I was watching it, and it was going towards like Marina del Rey, kind of where the LAX airplanes take off from LAX. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at it and I'm kind of seeing it, and it stops, and I'm going, it stopped, and then it drifted off, and this lasted about 5 minutes. But I got in my truck. And as soon as I got in my truck, I see President Obama's helicopters. There was like three Whirlybirds and the two Marine Ones going to pick them up, to take them to Corona Del Mar. And I go, usually they go up towards the pier, go up Wilshire and the VA, and they drop them off and they do the same route, I guess, to stay away from the Santa Monica airport. And I go, I didn't think about nothing. And then I go, wait a minute. That UFO had to have stopped them and they had to change their direction. So the UFO is like, stop, and I'm trying to think of it. They had to take a different direction because there's this UFO standing in front of the airport airways. And so then all of a sudden I'm going, and I was talking to a guy in an Air Force uniform today walking in Santa Monica, and I told him about it, but I forgot to tell him some F-16s were scrambled because I guess an airplane or something. So I'm going to start a piece together the F-16s are probably scrambled for this craft because he left, I think it was 7, he went to Corona del Mar, then he left to San Francisco about 12. But I'm saying it's like they're getting involved, extraterrestrials are getting involved.
Well, the sightings go on. They're going on all over the world. There is a famous sighting, the Stephenville case, where the jets were chasing craft directly toward Crawford Ranch. That case is still not solved. There's a big conference in Glen Rose, Texas, later this year about it. On and on and on and on it goes. And that's not all. There's witnesses coming forward, books coming out. Massive amount of evidence is accumulating. And yet the White House has stated that, in fact, none of it is evidence at all. There is no evidence at all. More importantly, the government has never attempted to hide anything on this. So, okay, it is a challenge to us that they laid down the mantle. Is it a call for help? I don't care what it is. All I know is if the last 65 years, the press, which is getting better and better at this issue, more and more articles, no question about it, but overall, the press has never engaged the political structure on this issue. They have stood down for whatever reason. The moment they do, the truth embargo is done. And I think this petition process, which has been given to us by the White House, may be the way to get that done. And so 25,000 signatures, and then let's see what's happened. And maybe we'll actually learn a little bit more about these things flying around.
Next up, we go to Art, truck driving in Louisiana. Go ahead, Art. Thanks for calling.
Stephen, I really don't think that this petition is going to result in anything because based on a conversation I overheard many years ago, the government or actually the military considered to be this such a hot potato issue. They didn't want to have anything to do with the cover-up, with anything with the alien situation or extraterrestrials. So what they did is they passed everything on to the contractors. Like, for example, in Area 51, most of that facility, a great part of it is leased to the contractors. They are the ones that actually possess all of the material and anything having to do with the crash in Roswell, everything like that is handled by the contractors. And the government, the military, they just wet their hands clean of it. And those, the facility there, or that is to say the area that they lease, that's their it's under their control, and the military has really not much access to that, but they are developing the technology and everything for the government. All those employees that you see getting on an airline in Las Vegas, those are government employees. No, scratch that. Those are contractor employees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me comment. I've actually been in this for 16 years. I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of witnesses. I'm aware of this thinking, all right? But I want to tell you what I believe is the case. I do not believe at all that the management of the UFOET issue is being run by American corporations, no more than I believe that our nuclear deterrence and defense system is being run by high-tech companies.
This is probably above government, Stephen.
No, George, it isn't. And I'm not saying that there aren't things above government. What I'm trying to say is that the evidence to me is quite clear. This is a major and always has been a major national security interest, and it is managed and run. It doesn't mean there aren't contractors involved in dealing with tech or whatever. That's been the case throughout our military. But this is a major national security issue, and it is run by military and intelligence officers working, obviously, in the black world, who are patriots and who are trying to protect the country. And there's no way that these people are going to let some oil executive come down there and tell them, well, here's what we want to do with the ETs. Not happening. So this I want to clear this up because a lot of people believe this, and as a result, he kind of gets them a little, you know, sideways with, well, how do we deal with this? This issue is national security. Corporations would like to influence it, might like to say, well, you know, why don't you guys hold off on this so we can sell some more oil at $200 a barrel? But they're not really calling the shot. That doesn't mean they can't influence politicians. But this issue is national security, always has been, and the government in the military intelligence world, the problem is not the contractors. The problem is the disconnect now between the Congress and the presidency and this issue, because it's virtually now off their radar. It's operating independently, and that is not good, and we need to deal with that, but it's not being run by a bunch of corporations.
Well, this is what we should do. Go to our website right now. If you are computer savvy, under tonight's guest, you'll see Steve Bassett's name. There's a little verbiage there that says sign petition. Click that. There you go. You go straight to the White House petition site, We the People, fill it out. They'll send you an email, click it, and that registers your vote and, you know, and your signature. And let's get Steve his 25,000 first. We'll work on the rest of the million later on. We'll keep tabs on it. Stephen, thank you so much. Up next, reporter Linda Moulton Howe with some strange stories of strange things.